Good morning, soon to be afternoon, everyone. We are so glad you are out for today's program. We welcome you. And as usual, we'll take this opportunity to bless the food, regardless of whatever condition it currently is in. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this time of fellowship and growth, for this time that we can be in each other's company and in yours. Continue to bless this gathering, bless the food whose hands have prepared it, that indeed it may go to benefit us both in body and soul. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, nice to see everyone. A little bit of introduction to our very special speaker today. I told Stan he probably drew the short straw, but here we are, and we're happy to have him. So, after 29 years as a peace officer, I was interested that you said peace officer.
Yes, peace officer, that's what it's called.
In California. Stan retired in 2018. And was that like just to go sit down and eat bonbons, or did you intend to work when you came here?
I intend to work. Okay. I came to continue employment. Okay. Why not?
You came here in 2018 to the Washington City Police Department. But throughout his career previously, first you came to be a property and evidence technician.
Here. Yeah, that's here. Why right. I came here. I took that position for Washington City Police Department.
Oh, very good. Well, throughout his career, he's also served as a patrol officer, a specialist in narcotics investigation, drug court liaison officer, narcotics detective, and field training officer. And since being in Washington City, he also has become a marijuana leaf identification technician.
Look at that. Why not?
And a field investigation drug officer and speaker at Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church.
There's the last one right there.
Right. Now that all sounds pretty impressive. But he said the most important part of his life is his wife, four adult children, and two grandchildren.
Yes.
Stan McCauley.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for that great introduction. I really appreciate it. Nothing more to add to that about me. I'm very happy to be invited to do this and to be with you folks and to get a little bit of education about society. And you know, you heard that I was from California, so there's more people coming from California and wherever, it doesn't matter. Just unfortunately, when more people get here, their problems and more problems kind of follow them, unfortunately. And that just that just doesn't happen. But very happy to be here in Washington County and be here with you folks now. My co-presenter sometimes is my wife, and she could not make it. Chris, I may be moving around a lot. If
that's all right.
If you don't like that, throw something at me and I'll figure it out.
I'll follow you.
I'll stop. So, and my wife, Cindy, she was an officer for Redlands Police Department as well. And she did 7 years, and she decided to be a stay-at-home mom and our youngest child to kind of help him out in schooling and all that, and that worked out very, very well. So here is, I may have a warped perception and crime and society and things like that, so bear with me, you know. But my philosophy in all this is the predator and prey analogy. There are predators out there that are seeking to get whatever advantage they can from you, whether it's to hurt you, whether it's to maybe steal your money, whatever the case may be. The predators are out there trying to seek out someone that they perceive that is weak, injured, not paying attention. That all falls into that same category. So, and the prey is, you know, that person that can be easily taken advantage of. Okay. That is the predator and prey. All right. Just a little warning right here. my presentation, I kind of spliced two things together. My wife and I usually do a presentation of a self-defense presentation. And this presentation, I kind of melded in some more home defense and just scams, how to prevent scams and things like that. So some things may be a little out of the ordinary here, and I'll explain why on some of these photos. So what does a predator look like? We're gonna test your ID channel skills right now. Can anybody identify? There's two serial killers pictured in that picture. Can anybody see them?
I'm torture killer.
BTK?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Yeah.
There's BTK right there. And who's the other one?
One with glasses.
Which one?
One with glasses.
Here, you want to point? You point to it. Hit the red thing right there. No. That would be a nerd. Okay. No. bottom left. You know who that is?
The one with glasses.
Huh? You're saying the one? No, we already said that he's a nerd. He looks like a lab technician of some sort.
Ted Bundy
right there. You know what? Two guys, I may be getting off on a tangent here, but here we go. Two totally different serial killer in the way they did things. How did BTK do it? He stalked them. People were projects. He saw somebody, he worked at ADT. He worked on alarms. He worked for the city as a animal control officer, right? So he was all over the city doing all these things, and people were, they really didn't like him too much. And then there was other people that, man, you're serious about your job. This is great. Well, while he's doing his jobs throughout the years, because he started his evil works, when it was in the late 70s, I do believe, was when he was starting everything. So this was a guy that picked people, broke into their home, laid in wait, and then that's when he did the sick things that he did. Good old Ted Bundy, he was Mr. Slick. He would go up to women and talk to them. He would pretend to be injured. How many saw the movie Silence of the Lamb? No? Yeah. Silence. Okay. Buffalo Bill? Remember he had the broken arm trying to get the sofa into the van?
Yeah.
That scene right there? But Ted Ned never did that, but he did very similar things to that. It was fake a broken arm. I need help. Oh, can you help me hook up this boat? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you help me with this? And then he attacked his victims that way. So two different people with two different methods on how they tried to suck people into their sickness and unfortunately take their lives. Well, unfortunately, predators are everywhere. Predators that are going to take your life, or predators that want to take your money, your property, they're all the same. Predators are predators. They're looking and seeking to see the easiest avenue, the easiest thing that they can do to take what they want, and that's what a predator does. All right. Being a hard target. This is a mindset that you have to want to be in, to be aware of your surroundings, know what's going on. Now, I'm gonna be rude maybe, and maybe this crowd right here, for the majority of us, we're not walking around all day like this all the time, right? Okay? These things are horrible. And these things are for some people they can't live without type thing, right? I mean, everything's in there now, you know? The only phone number that I can remember to this day is my phone number that I grew up at. That's it. Everything else is in here. If I had to remember, get another number, I don't know, because I don't remember. I don't memorize them anymore, right? But these things are distracting as all can be. And this is what gets maybe some of the younger generation around here in trouble because they are constantly looking down at this when they're out in public. If they're not getting run over by a vehicle, they have no idea who's staring at them right now, going, you're not paying attention at all of what's going on, your surroundings. And that's one of the main things that you have to do is just be aware, get your head up, you know? And when I get on my cell phone and I'm doing something, I gotta do something, I try not to do this, you know, when I'm walking. I'll find a wall or something, put my back against it, and I'll look around. And then I bring my phone up to more of my eye level so I can see what's going on. Try not to do this type thing. And that's all part of walking with confidence. Having your head up, having one hand free all the time. I always do that as much as I can. I am right-handed, so I always try to keep my right hand free. 9 times out of 10, I am always carrying a firearm on me. So I keep my right hand free. And hopefully as law enforcement officers, that's what they teach you. You keep your primary hand free to get to your weapon or whatever you need to do. And half the time, if you have to reach for your gun, you have to reach for your gun. And if it's not a gun in your hand, then it's a pin in your hand writing down everything, what everybody's saying, what happened type thing. So, keeping one hand free is always a good thing to do. One of the big things that I have to say out in public is always keep eye contact with people when you're passing. That is a great indication for a predator. If they're walking and they're staring at you and you turn away, you do this bit, look down and all that, they're like, oh, gotcha, you know? I just intimidate you just like that. Just by looking at you, I was able to intimidate you, and you looked away. When I'm walking through there and I'm staring at somebody, they start staring at me, I go, hey, what's up? And they, and some of them will just keep on looking, others don't. But to make that contact to go, I know you're looking at me, I'm looking at you, you're looking at me, what's up? What's going on? Hi, you know? And that lets a person know you have confidence, you're not going to shrivel away and shrink down because of what they're doing. They're staring at you, they're trying to do it. And they're trying to see what kind of response from that stare. They're trying to stare you down, they're trying to look at you, sizing you up. And then you're looking at them back, sizing them up. So now, the predator and prey thing could be getting switched around. How do they know, right? Okay, what else? We have a society that, you know, nobody wants to draw attention to themselves, very quiet, but especially for this young lady right here, you know, somebody tries to grab her, somebody's trying to, hey, I've got a puppy in my car. I got some candy in my car. It's like, no, I'm not going with you. She needs, huh?
I'm not falling for any tricks.
Yeah, that's right. You're not falling for any tricks. I love that. Okay. That's exactly it. And whether you're her age or however old you are, be loud. If there's something, man, that sixth sense is a real thing, having that. That's legit. And if you're feeling in your heart and your soul that this isn't right, it's like, hey, mister, I don't know who you are. You need to get away from me. Draw that get people looking, going, hey, what's going on? You know? And I think more so in this community, more people are like, they're going to start looking. Hey, where I grew up, Fontana, San Bernardino, you know, you start yelling and screaming. They're like, oh, it's another domestic. They must be in love or something. You know? They don't care. You know? Avoid the secondary crime scene. Let's say you're at the ATM or something like that. Let's say you're getting your money and then somebody walks up against you and they claim they got a gun to your back or they grab you and you're going, hey, you need to take out X amount of dollars out of that account, right? What is it now? I'm married, so I don't get to carry cash. So what can you get now? Like $400 or $500 out of an ATM or something, right? 400. 400. Okay. Okay. All right. If that's what they wanted, they'd take their money. That should be it. Goodbye. Run. Right? Okay. Now the next thing that could come out of their mouth is, where's your car? Okay, this is, woo! Alarm bells need to be going off right now. Because this is not, okay, it went from a robbery. Now it's going into, you want to know where my car is and you want me to come with you? Okay. That robbery of that cash right there, that's the primary crime scene. The secondary crime scene is a location with who knows what's going to happen. If they take you and where's your car? Let's get into your car. Okay, drive. I just want to go drive to my friend's house and I'll let you go, or I'll do this, or whatever lie they're going to say, that's what they're going to say. But you go to that secondary crime scene, that could be where some bad things happen, where your life is taken. Who knows? Okay. That initial part, I can replace that $400. I don't care. Here, throw the keys. There's the keys. You want my car? There it is. Bye. You know, I'm out of here. Right? Just get out of there. So, going to the secondary crime scene can be a very dangerous place to be, because there's many times that people have gone to a secondary crime scene. They don't survive. That's where they're killed. Sexual assault, whatever the case may be. All right. Predators with weapons. Most of the time, here's my thought on these things. If somebody draws a gun on me and I'm looking down the barrel of a gun and it hasn't gone bang yet and I'm still coming up with these thoughts, then why hasn't this happened yet? Why am I still breathing here? Somebody pointing a gun, you're either shooting somebody or you're trying to intimidate somebody. You're trying to get them to comply. You're using that gun as a tool of intimidation to try to get what you want. It could be a gun, it could be a knife, whatever the case may be. You've got to figure out what your physical capabilities are and what you're willing to do and what you can do to defend yourself if that's the situation that you want to go to. The FBI has had this statistics that if you start fighting and start resisting, there's that, everything is broken down into a 50-50 kind of thing. It's a 50-50 chance that you're going to get shot. Well, out of that 50-50% that you got shot, there's another 50-50 chance that it's not a lethal wound and you can continue. That could go for a gun, that could go for a knife, but that goes, where are these injuries at? Right? You know, just because you get shot doesn't mean you're going to die. Just because you get stabbed doesn't mean you're going to die. So you got to have that mindset, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep going. And we're talking about fighting back. Part of the first level of fighting back is what I was talking about, is that confidence. Looking people in their eyes, walking up, head up, and having that command presence about you while you're in society, showing that you are aware of what's going on and you have that confidence. We talked about the voice. Talked about keys. Keys right now are going bye-bye. I mean, we walk up to our cars now, there's a lot, they just open up and all that. But there used to be, you know, a lot of martial artists would say, you know, yeah, I'm gonna go to my car. I'm gonna weave my fingers through this, and here I am, I'm going to my car. So if anybody gets me, I'm gonna get them, right? Well, this is ridiculous. That's not going to do anything. You'll probably hurt yourself more than you're going to hurt somebody, or maybe make them mad because you scratched them. You didn't hurt them. So let's just say I have an older vehicle. Whatever the case may be, and I have that one key. I have that ignition. You know, your first car may have an ignition. You know, you never know, right? You're going to have a key. Okay. This is it right here. That's all you need. This is a weapon right there. You've got it pinched in between your thumb and your index finger, and it is now a stabbing tool. It's a stabbing tool. It can rake across somebody. This could hurt really bad if it got put inside your eye. It wouldn't feel good. Hollow the throat, whatever the case may be. Just doing that, that's a weapon all by itself. Ladies, guys, fingernails, nothing wrong with fingernails, nothing wrong with biting, nothing wrong with grabbing hair, things like that. If you have a martial art background, do you still practice? Can you still do this? So again, you've got to weigh out what can you physically do, and what are you willing to do and able to do? Fighting back, you've got to have that ability. When I was doing all my martial arts, I had an instructor that was talking about aggression. You can be happy-go-lucky, everything's fine and all that, and then when somebody's coming into your space and they're ready to attack you, you've got to be able to drop that right now and go into a fighting mindset to where you're going to survive if this is what this is turning into. And the old saying, you know, being able to fight at a drop of a hat, to be able to turn aggression on and have that violence of action with that aggression. If you can fight and you're willing to fight, those are elements that go hand in hand together. All right. This part right here, home safety. If you see something, you want to add something, please add it, because these are just samples. We got lock your doors and windows. Simple thing, right? That's the easiest way to stop predators. The people, and this goes for your vehicles too. Your home, your vehicle, locking those doors. You don't know how many times in the last 6 years or so it's been stolen vehicles. Oh, had my gun in that vehicle too. My car's gone and my gun's gone. And then the other thing is you've got kids, adults, whatever you want to call them, whatever you decide what an adult is or a kid is, you know, age. You have groups out here. They're addicted to drugs. They're looking for things to steal so they can sell for drugs. They're not necessarily want to hurt you, but they definitely want to get your property so they can take that, sell it, and get drugs. Okay? So your car's unlocked. It's gonna get, there's kids that are gonna go through that neighborhood opening up car doors as much as they can and take what they can get. And a lot of those instances, they're finding guns because they didn't bring their gun in. They left it in the car because maybe they're thinking nothing happens in Washington County, Washington City, St. George, whatever the case may be. But when people get desperate, they start doing desperate things. Right? Okay. Alarm systems on your house, on your car, nothing wrong with that. Camera systems outside your property. Not only are they beneficial, but boy, that's a great deterrent, you know. They may or may not see it, who knows, but at least it's there. But the ones that do see it, if you got the big sign in the front of your yard, you know, camera on, you know, smile, you're on TV, whatever the case may be, you know, those are great deterrents for somebody to move on. And this may sound harsh, but the fact is when a predator is, let's say they're trying to target me and they're trying to test me to see if I'm gonna fold just by looking at them, and I stare them down and they move on, well, they're moving on to another target. I'm safe. My family's safe. The same thing with your home. If your home has cameras out there, this, lighting, and all that, man, that house looks like a hard target, just like a person can be a hard target. Well, if the house is a hard target, unfortunately, why don't you go over to my neighbor's house that's got bushes all over their windows and no dogs and no lights and no alarm and no camera? That house could be an easier place to go burglarize or steal things that you can find, you know. So very great options. Again, it sounds bad, but if everybody was a hard target, then the criminal element would have a really hard time trying to find a target, right? But unfortunately, they're going to find a target one way or another. They're eventually going to do it. Having dogs, you know, a good dog that's not going to lick them to death, who knows? But if it looks mean, maybe it's, you know, providing the security that you need. Having good neighbors, do we watch out for each other? You know, that strange vehicle that just pulled, hey, I know Bill, who's that guy? Hey, what's going on? Hey, do you need help? You know, and you contact people and they're not supposed to be there. They're either going to be great con people, which definitely does happen. They'll make up a great, brilliant story, or they'll just go, oh no, I'm just dropping something off. I'm bye. And they get out of there. They get spooked. That can happen as well. But having good neighbors to watch out for each other, there's nothing wrong with that. All right. Again, weapons. Do you have firearms on you? Do you have firearms at your home? Are you trained to use those weapons? And then the big thing, are you willing to use those weapons? Because that's the worst thing that you can do during the trial. I was never involved in a shooting, ever. There was times there that it was close. My finger's on the trigger and I'm ready to go. And during my early career, and we're doing training, and you have your paintball guns, is what we were using at the time, and you see an actual body that you're gonna squeeze the trigger and you're sending a projectile to, boy, that starts rewiring your brain. You're like, oh, I'm gonna pull the trigger, boom. Hey, that was just a paintball. It turns into a lot of paintballs at the end of the training, because now you're just shooting everybody, you know? You're just going crazy. It turns into fun, but that initial thing going, hey, if this was real, I'm sending a piece of lead down, you know, 1,200 feet per second, whatever the case may be, and it's gonna hit another human being. Hey, if I'm protecting myself and my family, well, that's what I'm gonna do, you know? Inside your home, you are definitely protected by Utah code. It's right there. It's 76-2-405. And Utah lawmakers sure love long codes. I'll tell you that much. Whoa! Yes, ma'am.
When I was visiting for a whole summer with my aunt in Southside Chicago, every one of her windows, not only did she have a lock, but she also had a dowel that would go up the side of the window so that they could not open the windows.
Did you all hear that, what she was saying? It was at a family member's house, and she had doweling in windows, locks on windows to prevent. That's absolutely.
Yeah, a dowel on the side so that there's no way you can open
it. You can lift it up. Yeah.
Lift it up.
You know, you've got sliders.
Yeah.
You know, that's great.
And then at the back door, she also had a dowel so that if they were able to jimmy the lock, they couldn't open the door.
Yeah, you know what? The doweling is a cheap and easy, quick way to do things. There's metal locks that you can put on the rails of sliders and lock it down. Screw it down and lock it down so things can open up. I mean, some people have gone as far as nailing windows, and I wouldn't do that.
No.
You know,
if you gotta get out.
I know.
Well,
as it pertains to this, like, now I'm old. How do I protect myself? I don't even have a cane anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I've been robbed twice in Chicago and twice in LA. My wife's been carjacked. you know, but I mean, I was a lot younger, and then you get away with it.
Yeah.
But now that I'm old, I feel like I'm very vulnerable. Is it, what are, like, being in Idaho, the law was that if you were, somebody was older, I could shoot somebody if I felt threatened, if the person was younger. I don't know what the code is out here. But do you suggest that more old people buy guns? I feel very empty, I feel very naked if I'm someplace, like, what if I'm, you know, and even though coming out of Chicago, like, be careful where the car, park the car, it's still, they walked up on her and grabbed her.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, what she should have done, she should have went back to the store, right? But yeah. She got out of that, you know, by a good Samaritan.
Yeah, amen. You somebody said that.
But I mean, yeah. Like, now I feel like, you know, I've been in different places where I thought, this is bad news for me, I could get hurt here.
Yeah.
Because you're not young, like you said, all you karate, yeah. You know, that's all gone now. You know, how long could you last against some young guy that pulls a .38 on you?
And did everybody hear what the question was?
Right now. Yeah.
Okay, about, you know.
What do we do now?
What do you do now?
Yeah.
If you, can you physically, do you think that you could still do martial arts of some sort?
Well, not, I still ski, but I ain't going to be able to, somebody 20, 30 years younger, I'm not going to be
that. The law in Utah, you do have, let's talk first about going, let's just say a man's home is his castle, and that's what a lot of that code is. And not only is it your home, your residence, it's your vehicle, and it's your place of employment.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So you can defend your life. Somebody's breaking into your home, you don't have to sit there and ask them, oh, hi, are you here to get some coffee? No, you know, if you've got a gun, you are fully justified to start shooting. There's no thing in the law that says that you got to sit there and I've got a gun and I'm going to shoot if you come over here. There could be attorneys in here that may disagree with that, some defense attorneys. But a person's home is their castle. You have the right to defend yourself. You put them all right here, right? I'm pointing to the front of me, okay? I'm a bad guy. I just kick the door open and I come in here. And what's your name, sir?
Peter.
So Peter is there. He happened to be cleaning his gun, and he had it locked and loaded and ready to go. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I picked the wrong day, right? Yeah. And I start running out, and he starts shooting me in the back. That could be a moral and legal kind of problem. Did he just kick the door open and come into your home? He wasn't there to give you hugs and kisses, right? So my suggestion is, shoot, okay? Protect you. If you feel that your life is in danger, that's what
No, I was asking, do you suggest that more older people carry a gun? You know, or they take gun training or something like that?
I will always do that as I can physically can't do it.
Yes. 'Cause you walk around with a gun.
Yeah.
And I'm always hoping, like, well, I hope there's a policeman around. You know,
well,
like that. But there's so many criminals that came into our country all of a sudden.
Yes,
people don't realize this. These people are all over the place.
Yeah.
And like, you know, here I'm an old target.
All I can say is get training. You've got to search that for yourself.
Yeah.
If I was in your position, I would still have my gun. And I will have a gun close to me all the time. And that is our God-given right of self-defense, to have that there. But you got to have the training.
Yeah.
You still got to go there on the range and shoot and practice. Mm-hmm. Where is it? I'm part of a safety team at my church, and there's, unfortunately, we just don't have the resources and the time to do the training that we should train. And these guys got their guns buried in pockets. I mean, if something was going on, they would be doing this for an hour before they pull their gun out. And then my female friends, they've got it in their purse. So how long is it going to take to get that out of a purse? You know, to answer your question, that is, if I was in your shoes, Yeah, I would have a firearm. Yes, sir.
Is it legal to carry pepper spray or
yes.
stun gun? Yes,
you got stun guns, pepper spray? Yes, sir.
A lot of people have guns, but they're locked away most of the time.
Yeah.
Safe
yeah.
play right. There's no time to go get them.
Well, it depends on your setup of your home, okay? I don't know if this is gonna demonstrate what a great father I am or how stupid I am. So, my youngest son was 6 years old, and it was pounded into him. If you ever see a gun on a counter at a friend's house or something like that, you go and tell an adult. You get out of there. You do not, you see a gun laying down there, you don't touch it. You better go tell somebody. Get over there, right? So I pounded that into him. So one morning I thought, well, it's time to test that. And I got my gun, I unloaded it, had it. He was sleeping, I went into the living room, I set it down, and I waited. He got up, he went into the living room, and I'm pretending to be asleep, and he comes in, Dad. I'm like, what? The gun is in the living room. There is? All right. So I went and got it. Okay. So I always had my gun with me. We have no kids in our home right now. My wife and I have guns positioned through our home. Am I paranoid or prepared? I don't know. But that's my personal deal. My wife is home 99.9% of the time. She's stay-at-home mommy now, grandma, you know, at home. So we have access to guns. Are some of my guns locked and safe? Yeah, they sure are. Are some of my guns out? Not out in the open, but out where I can get them. Yes, they are.
Is it really that dangerous here that you have to have that many guns positioned around your house?
No, it's not. But all it takes is one, right? You know, that we are in such a great place right here. The crime rating in this in Washington County is so low. The violent crime is so low. The crime is so low. How many units do you see that respond to a traffic accident? Because they got nothing else to do. Right? There's two cars, it's a fender bender, and there's five cops here. And they're all, you know? It's, but you know what? When it happens, it happens. And I don't want to be, it's a real thing to say, that's not gonna happen to me. People say that, it's not gonna happen to me. And like, I am an ID channel aficionado. I love watching that. My wife and I, we live for all that. And everybody there that was a victim, one way or another, they say, I didn't think it was gonna happen to me. I was in the safest place. One of the things that we talk about, my wife and I, in one of our presentations, is the Groney. In northern Idaho, I don't know if you remember this. I don't even want to remember the suspect's name because he was just horrible. He shouldn't have been walking around. He molested children in back east, and then he decided to leave and came to Idaho. He spotted two little kids playing in the front yard, and their home was right off a main intersection. When that story first came out, boy, I thought, man, they're out in the sticks. It was just the way the media was framing their home. They were off a major highway right there. And this guy targeted them because he's a pervert, and he saw the two kids and goes, I want those two kids. Yeah. In Idaho.
There are a lot of perverts up there.
You know what? Megan's Law is a great thing. You know how many perverts are in your area. I'll tell you. Yes, ma'am.
This is stupid. Sometimes I take long walks by myself. Is it stupid to?
If you want to do that. Well, that's perfect. I would, but I would go with a friend. You know, I would definitely go with a friend if you're going to go for a walk. Do you have a dog? No. Do you have friends? Go with a friend.
You know. Elderly.
Yeah. Well, there's still, no matter what, there's still safety in numbers. There's always safety in numbers.
I don't
think
they want to go as far as I
would. Well, make them. Go, come on, you're coming with me. Pick, I don't know if you, I know we heard the scream, but it's walking, you know? Pick your time when you're going to go walking. I'm not saying that predators and criminals are on a schedule and they're not going to attack somebody at 9 a.m. or noon or something like that. But during the day, you know what? You pick your spots personally around here. You know, I would never go on all these wonderful trails that St. George has, the bike trails along the river here and all that, by myself at 8 o'clock at night. I just wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it unless I was with somebody or had my gun with me, okay? So you gotta pick. If your walking path is in your neighborhood and you're walking right there on the street, and you know, watch out for the guy in the blood red van, you know, things like that. Maybe I won't walk right next to that van over there. Maybe I'll cross the street. Again, that sixth sense, you're going, ooh, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right. And then, you know, people, grown men asking for help with this or that and all that. Go, hey, I live just right down the street. I'm going to go get my husband. Hang on, I'll be right back. You know, things like that. Whether you're married or not, or whatever the case may be, but if it's not feeling right, it's not right. But there's some good con men. I bet when it came to Ted Bundy, when he was going after his victims and he's pretending to be injured, he's got the cast on his arm and he's all hammered it up, and every one of the people there, oh, he's so handsome, you know, and during the trial, he's so handsome, you know, it was just really disgusting. And Bundy was all over Washington State. He was in Utah, he was here, and I mean, just one evil man. Very, yes, ma'am.
Well, I think she had a question too. Oh. So I'll have her first and I'll be second.
Yes.
You have a question?
So, I'm trying to find out with a little. I'll use my garage.
Do you take karate?
No.
See if you can take some classes, but I like where your mind is. Fight back. Yeah?
There we go.
Kick them. Kick them in the groin. Scratch them. Yeah. Right? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm from Baltimore, crime capital of the United States.
One of many, yeah.
One of many, and I worked at Hopkins, and I learned, for those that don't want to carry a gun, perhaps, or a knife, I learned you can do a lot of damage working the emergency room with an ice pick.
There is. Hey, she's carrying around an ice pick. Look at that. I don't feel so bad with my guns laying around.
I mean, you can do. It's narrow. It's small. You can have it in your car.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what you can do with it. So, you know, for those that don't want to carry a gun or a knife, it's something small. It's narrow, and they're not expecting that to come.
They don't. And. You know what, and we hit upon it here, there was pepper spray. There's nothing wrong with pepper spray. A taser,
wasp,
you know?
Wasp spray.
Bear spray.
It'll hit 30 feet.
There you go. Yes, ma'am.
You have to teach your kids or grandkids how to be a servant.
Yes.
Especially when they're in a park. We were in Goodyear, Arizona, and we took our grandkids, they're like 7, 10 years old. and he saw this, she saw this truck, her granddaughter did. She said, "Grammy, that's the same truck that was there yesterday." And he's looking at us all the time. So what she did, first, when as soon as she saw the truck, she ran, she got her skates and ran towards me.
Good, good.
I called the police to check it out. As soon as they saw the cops, they took me out.
Yeah. Did you guys hear the question? The question was talking about kids at a park, and you know, and they're in the park, and then unfortunately, you know, parks are also a magnet to pedophiles, where they're going to sit there and they're going to see which kid should they take, which one's going to be an easy target or I can get away with. And you've got to teach your kids to stay away from strangers, and that's harder to do sometimes, because what do we do as parents? You know, we're walking and we meet somebody. "Oh, how you doing? Well, hey, say hi to so-and-so. There, yeah, that's Bill. Yeah, that's right." You know, so we're telling our kids, we've got two different stories going on. Don't talk to strangers, but say hi to strangers. So it's like, okay, which one are we going to do? So I got away from my kids of not saying don't talk to strangers to don't go with strangers. They've got no business doing that. And doing what you did, okay, a park is a public place. Yes, 100%. And kids and adults can both go to the park. And we have no idea if you got some weird guy in a truck that every time at noon, he goes to the park to go eat his lunch, and same time at noon, you've got kids going to the park with all that. So on the outside, they could look, hey, what's the deal with this perv always being here at noon? Well, maybe he's not a perv. Maybe he's having lunch, okay? Now, you gotta look at their actions. Is this guy, is he getting out of the car and go, "Hey, Candy, you wanna see my dog?" You know, all this typical trying to entice a child to come to the vehicle type thing. If they're just sitting in the car, they're sitting in the car. If they come out, that's when you gotta tell your kids, hey, be aware. Again, not only as adults be aware of surroundings, you gotta teach your kids to be aware of their surroundings as well. Yes, sir.
A couple of weeks before in that same neighborhood, a young girl went missing.
Yeah. Same area from the park?
Same area.
Yeah. Where was this at?
It's Goodyear, Arizona.
Goodyear, Arizona. Yeah. Did they find her?
Fortunately, our daughter and our grandkids are all world champions in Taekwondo.
It helps. That definitely helps.
Yeah. I keep a in each of our cars, I have a little portable taser.
Yeah.
Now in Arizona, they tell me that's not legal.
I'll tell you one thing, in Utah, there's a lot of things that are legal, you know, to have. I mean, it is just unbelievable. You know, I've got my old baton that's in my truck right now, and it's a collapsible baton, and it's great. I love it. But in California, rolling around with that, that's a felony. Mm-hmm. I can have an unloaded gun in my car, and that's a misdemeanor. You know, it's like, what's going on? But it's you definitely got to know the law in your area and what you can have. But this is a free state. It does not get any better than this. I think Utah, Idaho, Texas,
Arizona,
Oklahoma,
Arizona, Tennessee.
You know, a lot of,
thank God,
dare I say it, red states. Can I say that? Yes.
Sam, what's the best thing to do when you go away? Curtains up, curtains down, lights, you know, light, they say you have a light on.
Alarm. The curtains up, if somebody is stalking your home and they see it every time the light comes on, the light comes off. You know, we used to have timers, you know, plugged in to and we really don't do that anymore. Now we got, you know, smart lights now. You know what? I think I'll turn the light on now, you know, and do this. So it's the randomness that is the best thing. alarm is the best thing. Just that, that perception cameras, there's that alarm placard in the yard taped to the a dog, you know, something over there. Neighbors, good neighbors, you know. Do you trust somebody enough to be a house sitter, you know, to come be at your home? So now you've got traffic coming in and out. Because the majority of the burglars, they don't want contact with people. They just don't. They want to get in the home, get the valuables, and get out. There's only that, you know, all it takes is one again. Just that element that actually wants, they don't care if there is a person in that home or not. They just don't care. They'll deal with it. Maybe they're armed, maybe they're not armed, you know. My answer to that is I would definitely have an alarm system. Regardless, if you just want to turn a light on and just leave it on, so be it. During the day, they're not going to be able to notice. And then when it gets dark, the light's on. And then in the morning, it's morning. They're not going to tell if the light is on or off anyway. But I would definitely invest in alarm system, cameras, having good neighbors, house sitter, things like that.
Should you have the curtains down then, or the, you know?
I would have your, well, we have our curtains drawn. We've got, they don't need to look in to see, well, there's nobody there. Let's keep them guessing. Keep them closed so they don't know what's going on. You know, again, alarm systems are worth their weight in gold. It's just, they're awesome. Yes, sir?
Don't put every minute of your day on the internet.
Pardon me? Say that again.
Don't put every minute of your day on the internet. Like, oh, I'm in Florida. I want everybody to know I just my days in Florida.
Did everybody hear that? Social media. Yeah. Talking about a invitation to burglars to come take my stuff. I've even had cop friends do that.
Yeah.
I'm in Mexico right now. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, cool. And you should know that bad guys are all into electronics too. Yeah. So they're going to go straight to that person's home that they can figure out or they know, and they're going to go burglarize you. Because you just announced to everybody that you're not home. And it's just ridiculous. That was a great statement. Great question right there. Any more? Let's see what we got. All right. Beware of scams. This is huge, scams, okay? I'm gonna tell you a real life personal story. My mother-in-law got a phone call from who she thought was my son. He's crying. And he's saying that he was arrested and he needs as much money as she has so he can get an attorney. Okay. Now, does my mother-in-law call him? No. Does my mother-in-law call us? No. Does my mother-in-law go to the bank and take out $9,000 and go back to her house? Yes, that's exactly what she did. This was the unusual thing about this scenario, was the con people were local. She lives in a mountains community that's in San Bernardino Mountains near Lake Arrowhead, I don't know, and there's a little sub community called Crestline. But right down the hill from there is San Bernardino, one of the other murder capitals of the world, okay? So, this criminal drives up to go pick up the money. She went right to the bank, took the money out, handed it right to him. She thought it was a little odd. She was able to get the license plate number of the vehicle. She wrote that down. And there goes her $9,000 driving down the street. It was at that point she's like, uh-oh,
yeah.
Something's wrong, you know. She figured out real quick. She called us and goes, where's Cameron? Well, he He's in California. Why? Oh. And she goes to tell the story of what she did, and we were like, Mom, what are you doing? You know? Those scammers, I don't know. I don't know if they just call so many people and they see who they can grab, or you know, they can go online and find seniors all day long. And they pretend to be family members to try to get bail money or attorney money. They do that all the time. One of the scams that I had was, man, I want to say it was the early 2000s that they were doing this, but you know, popular things do come back, is you won the lottery in Canada. Oh gosh, I've never played the lottery in Canada, but you won it anyway. Okay, all right, you won it. So to get this $1 million, $2 million prize, you need, because this is out of the country, you need to pay for the lawyers to process the winnings so you can have it. Great idea. I'm going to the bank right now and I'm going to go wire you all this money. Yeah, go to Western Union and this is where you do it. Well, this elderly gentleman, that's exactly what he wanted to do. He had his wife, another couple, in the car, begging him not to do it. And he was in the parking lot of Walmart and was going to go into there and put the money in there. And they called 911 saying, help our friend. I get there and he tells me the story and I'm going, you're being scammed. Go home. No, I won the lottery. No, you didn't win the lottery. You didn't win the lottery. They're going to take your money. Don't you understand? Look behind you. Look at the car of your family, your wife, and your friends. They're not buying it. I don't even know you, and I'm not buying it. Get in your car and go home. He got in his car. Just crazy. There's some scammers. I mean, they do have the gift of gab. They will convince you of everything, and you know what? You could be the hardest soul out there, and you're not going to believe it, but man, they come up with a story that's, I'm with you, brother. I'll help you. You know, what do you need? Anytime that there's has to deal with a check that needs to go into your account, and you need to take X amount of dollars out, but he'll leave you a couple hundred bucks because you're so kind and all that. They either want the cash or they want you to go get gift cards and send it to them or send them the numbers to those gift cards. Huge scams. Can anybody think of any other scams that I did not
get? Yeah, Social Security and the IRS.
You've been fined? You've been fined type thing and you need to pay it right now?
No, I mean, I knew they were scams.
Oh, just period. IRS is a scam, right? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I told one scammer, I said, I can't take you, I can't talk now. My cat's got diarrhea.
There you go.
They hung up.
I love that one. That's a great one.
We have an issue here because the phone numbers of our elders and deacons are on the internet because our people need to be able to contact them.
Oh.
I monitor our website.
Okay.
About every third time someone from Nigeria accesses the website, within about 4 hours, every one of us will get an email from him saying, I need you to buy me some gift cards. I'm in a meeting. One time they did it, and I was sitting across from his desk from him. And I texted them back and said, that's funny. Why don't you just ask me since I have eye contact with you right now? We had one guy who had this happen who kept them going for probably, what, half an hour? Going back and forth. I don't know how to buy gift cards. I don't know where Walmart is. Blah, 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 blah. Is that you, Hazel? And this went on, and the guy finally got frustrated and just quit.
But there you go. Hey, that's good. Hey, the longer that you can keep that scamster on the phone, that's less people that they're victimizing.
Well, this was text. Literally went back and forth for about 45 minutes. I've got the text path here if you want to read it. It's funny.
He's got so many screens up and he's texting so many people seeing who's going to bite. Who's going to bite on this?
People, I don't think, understand it. There's so much information that they can pull off the web on you. That's incredible. I mean, they'd even find your house and they'll tell you, we see what you're doing, you know, because Google sent them right there. Because I even had a scam where I even called the police, and the police says, well, it was like part of my job, where they were using my bank card, which I never activated. So I says, your problem's at the bank, it's an inside job. Well, the scam was on the bank, not you, because I didn't even find out they were like buying computers under my B of A card. So I'm telling the guy the computers are being here in Brea, they're being delivered to one of those mobile home parks. So I said, somebody's at the park accepting them. Yeah. That's the crook. And they go, it's not on you, it's on the card company. On the bank. And I go, like, there's the air, go there and grab them. But somebody was using the card. And I mean, there's so much information that can just get here. Yeah. Like, I'd even been in a store, I see the woman with her social security card on her check. And I told her, that's really crazy. She says, mind your own business.
Okay.
Good thing you don't write checks anymore. I mean, I still do.
Yeah. What this man was saying about just the information out there is unreal.
Incredible. They can dig up everything.
They can. If you have a name, you can run my name, on the internet, and it's gonna show you my kids, my ex-wife, my wife, and it's like, come on. Yeah. You know? I guess there's agencies out there that you can pay to have it scrub the internet and take that out. I don't know if they're worth it. It would be interesting to look into something like that, because the less of a digital footprint that we have out there, the better off we all are.
Or you can use the old theory, like, I've already been married, so there's nothing left of my house to take.
There's nothing there. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. That was me a number of years ago right there. There's so many. There's just so many scams that they can do, and if it's too good to be true,
it probably is.
It is. Okay. Don't fall for it. Don't take your money out. And since we're talking about money, as more and more people come here, you're gonna have more and more people on the side of the street. Help me. God bless you. I'm a veteran. I'm this. I'm that. Give me money. Give me money. Give me money. Okay, I beg of you, as Christians, we want to help people, and I'll tell you right now, from my own personal experience and professional experience, any money that you give to somebody on the street either goes to the liquor store or goes right back into their arm. Yeah. It does not help them. It may help you feel good in the moment, but just so you know, you are contributing to that person's devil that's on their back. You're not helping them. They will be just grateful and all that. I have personally gone out and helped people and tried to find them. Let's detox. Let's go. Salvation Army in California, they call them adult rehabilitation centers, and they're awesome. And I think, I could be wrong, I don't know, the LDS may have something like that. I'm not 100% sure. However, that's helping somebody. Getting them off the street and get over there. Here, go to this resource, go over there. Reaching in your pocket to give them cash. I don't agree with it, because now all it does is put them deeper into that addiction, because they're not doing it to go get help. They're just gonna continue their addiction, and they're gonna be there again to get more money, and again, and again, and again. Donate to your church, donate to Salvation Army, Goodwill, whatever the organizations at Switchpoint, you know, they're trying to help people. Go to those entities. Here, go do that. I have personally, driving down, I'm hungry. I had leftover food right next to me. dude, brother, here you go. Give it right over there. I go around and I don't know why. I just went across the street, parked and watched him. And he opens up the food and throws it behind him. Picks up his sign. I'm hungry. I need food. Nobody's going to give him food. He wanted money. Yes, ma'am.
I was coming out of Walmart one day, and there's always somebody there that begs for money, has a sign. Yep. And then over by the stop sign by Home Depot, I'm sitting there waiting, and I saw this Middle Eastern woman, tattooed across the forehead, come over, take all his money, make him turn his pockets wrong side out. Then she went over to the lady, same thing. So they're working for someone.
They're dropped
did
off
you,
and
did
picked
you hear
up.
That?
Yep, they're dropped off and picked up.
There's whole their whole units. I don't know if y'all heard that, but it was clear that somebody was up there sent to, I need money, help, and all that good stuff. She sat there and witnessed them. Their handler is what they were. Probably collected all the money that they had, made sure they weren't hiding any more money. Okay, go back out there and get more money. I mean, back in Cali, I mean, that was a big expose there going on where they were following homeless people. They were following the people with the signs and go all do this. And at the end of the day, they put their sign, they walk about a block away or two, and they get into their Mercedes Benz and just drive away.
Yep. This guy in Vegas, there was a guy in Vegas who had a Lamborghini.
There you go. Yes, ma'am.
Scammers.
There's
trying to take my mom, my grandma, money, like toll free or anything else.
Did they call your grandma, or they were, and you picked up the phone?
No, she did not answer.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
The phone rings, and she's gonna answer the phone. No. Yeah. And I said scammers. That's all she's been hearing.
You're out there. You protect your grandma. Okay. That's a good. That's the best thing to do. Okay. Be prepared, not paranoid. Everything that we talked about. You know. Don't leave here. Just go. Don't go out in the world and go, my gosh, it's just horrible out there. I'm just gonna stay home and do absolutely nothing. And I think I'll put bars on my doors and windows, and I'll be safe right here. The whole point of this is not be depressed, not to be fearful. You know, there's nothing that we should fear, right? You know, we have the Lord with us. So therefore we are protected. So live that life. But there's nothing wrong with being prepared. Prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared for the worst. And maybe it'll come, and maybe it won't. And be prepared. And that's why, you know, I'm prepared in my home. I don't have an alarm system anymore. I used to, but I've got cameras all over. The neighbors think I'm probably crazy or a drug dealer because, you know, back when I was a cop, it was the guys that had all the cameras all over their home were drug dealers, you know. But, you know, I have cameras. I have a dumb dog that wouldn't protect me for nothing. But, hey, you know what? She barks, you know. Yes.
I think there's just like 10 dogs already that the insurance company, like if you have a German Shepherd and it bites somebody, they won't insure you anymore. That's, I mean, it was like, they're down to almost a Chihuahua.
Certainly.
I couldn't believe the dogs. They were like, you know, standard pool, and have, you know, that bites somebody, no insurance.
You know, and
so
that
you can't have guard dogs anymore.
Is that state by state, or was that by insurance company?
Insurance
company. Insurance
companies. Take a look at the dogs that don't insure anymore.
Wow.
One bite.
Yeah, you know, I have no idea what's going on in Utah on that, and what insurance companies.
Well, it's all the same insurance company. I mean, look, you know, they're out there to make money. You know, these. But I mean, your dog bites somebody. Here we go. You know, you got a major suit there.
You know what? Everybody's sue happy.
Yeah.
So it's. You got to weigh it out. Do you want that dog? And is that dog trained? Hey, and it goes again. Are you trained?
I had a friend that the police chased the guy underneath their house. The dogs went under there and bit him, and he got sued. They sued him in court for dogs being on his property, biting the criminal. Yeah.
That sounds like California. I was just going to say, that sounds like California.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. I guess the next speaker you need me to have is an attorney from the, to talk about the ins and outs of civil liability, what's going on your property. Does anybody have anything else? I do have this presentation. I have like 25 handout type things that just go over this presentation. If you're more than welcome to grab one if you want one. There's my email in there if you want to ever do this again. If you dare to invite me back, I'd be more than happy to come back. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am?
Is there a security system company you recommend?
I don't know of any, okay? I would go online and look, ask for neighbors and friends to see what alarm companies. I know here, I could be wrong, there's a lot of local alarm companies that are doing good. They're not the big name alarm companies. You know, and nowadays, like a Simply Safe, a do-it-yourself, a box that just makes noise, you know, to scare somebody away. It doesn't necessarily have to be connected to a monitoring system. Those are options that you have to pick to see how that makes you feel safer or not safe. But you can have those do-it-yourself alarm systems that just have the speaker up there, and when it breaks the field of a door or a window, it goes off. At least it lets you know what's going on. Then you've got the option to have it monitored. If you want to have it monitored, all these companies do is go, oh, there's an activation over there. They're going to call you and see if everything's okay. If they don't get a hold of you, then they call the police department, and the police department comes and checks the home to make sure everything's okay. So there's all different levels of that, of what you want
to
do.
And that was about $30 to $50 a month.
Yes, they are.
Monitored, you know.
You know, just having the noise machine, mm-hmm. you know, some of those alarm systems, that's deterrent right there.
What about security lights? Is that a good idea to have them on? They could see?
I'm sorry, say that
again. Security lights are not a good idea to have on.
Security lights are a great thing to have on.
Okay.
They really are. You know, motion detectors. Talking about our property, there's a lot of properties out here that have more of a desert theme, rocks and all that. If you've got big bushes in front of windows, doors, and things like that, I would thin those out, clear those out, get it to where somebody can't hide. I'm not a big hedge fan. I always hated searching hedges and all that and thick vegetation because people will hide in there. They'll just dive right down in there and they'll hide, you know? So lights are great. Lights are a big deterrent, you know? Breaking that darkness with light, and crooks don't like to be under the spotlight. Whether they think nobody's watching them or not, that light shining in their face, they're like, oh, I gotta get out of here. You know, they don't like that. And make your property so there's not easy places for people to hide. You know, I like just little bushes, trees, things like that, low stuff, you know. So a grown size man can't hide behind there and jump out at me or somebody else. Any other questions? I will be hanging around for a few minutes, and if you have any questions, feel free. I want to thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.